It's 88.5 KCSN. I'm Sky Daniels. What a treat today. The 3 o'clock are joining us live in studio.
Hello.
Welcome, guys.
Hello there. Yeah.
We were talking earlier. See, Danny and I talked about the fact that when the 3 o'clock first started, a penultimate, quote, indie band. And it was a lot different, you know, back in the 80s, being an indie band, because you had to fight a little harder with the mainstream media. You had to work a little tougher to get attention. But the fans seem to know and find out about you. Going back, talk to me about the first, you know, how you broke through in Los Angeles and then ultimately became real figureheads of what we called the Paisley Underground.
Really, it was at the beginning, Lewis and I originally started a group called the Salvation Army.
Right.
And we did a single that was put out by the fellows in a band called the Minutemen. Dennis Boone saw us at an Alpine Village in Torrance, California, and said, "You guys have a tape?" I said, "Sure." We had just graduated high school, and we had just, with the graduation money, we had gone to a little studio in Carson, California. I did a 4-song demo tape that came out really great. And so I gave him the cassette, and he called me back a couple days later and goes, "You know, I'm putting this out. I don't care what the F Mike Watts says." I go, "Thank you, Dennis." And then they got the masters stuff from me, you know, because they gave us the master
sure.
tape, and then they put the single out, and then original guitarist Johnny Blazing left, and that's when Lewis came, and then from there, and from that single's notoriety, you know, the buzz it was getting, whatever, Lisa Fanter from Frontier Records signed us up, and we did a full length album
right.
entitled The Salvation Army, and that, you know, it just didn't really it got a lot of but then the drummer left, and then that's when we got Danny and then from there we decided we're gonna make an EP, because I wanted to, the Salvation Army was a very punk oriented
right.
band, and I wanted to get more pop, I wanted to be more musical, and not that punk rock isn't musical, it's just
right.
And so we, right when we got together with Danny, and then Mickey Mariano came like a month later, the keyboard player, we said, "We're going to do an EP." And that's what came out in December of 82, was called Baroque Hoedown.
Right.
And I wasn't expecting anything. I remember being on Melrose Avenue in like late December and opening up a BAM magazine, which was like a music magazine at the time, and seeing a really glowing review. And Salvation Army really didn't get many glowing reviews.
Right.
So I was like, and that's when I thought, oh, wow, this might turn into something. It really turns me on when red is in your hair. It seems to me so warm when red is in your hair. The red can take me there, for when I look in your hair, the red can show me where. For when I look in your hair, red's an illusion, red's the way that we were on, red's all I see. And then red is gone. It really is a feeling when blue on your face. It really leaves its meaning when blue is on your face. The blue can take me there, for when I look in your face, the blue can show me where. For when I look in your face, blues and lose the way that we were on, lose all I see. And then blue is gone. Blue.
Ed Reilly is tomorrow. When green is in your eyes, Ed Reilly saying something. When green is in your eyes, the green can take me there. But when I look in your eyes, the green can show me where. But when I look in your eyes, green's an illusion. Green's the way that we were on. Green's all I see.
This all happened.
Well, it was that on Twitter scene, at the time.
That's right. The scene was made from real, you know, peer to peer, person to person. I mean, it Absolutely. Wasn't now where you can communicate to 400 friends with a, you know, keystroke.
Yeah, I would say that in the late 70s, early 80s, there was a real do-it-yourself attitude in music, and punk rock was what came out of that, and everything was do-it-yourself. You made your own flyers. You repaired your own guitars. You just did everything yourself. You promoted it word of mouth, and it was peer-to-peer. It's completely different than the way it is today. And, it's hard to say what it was in the band that sparked the interest that it did, but there was just a buzz that came out of it. And we went from having, playing in backyard parties in Carson with beers and kegs and stuff like that, to playing at Alpine Village, to playing at the Whiskey A Go-Go, to playing at the Roxy, opening up for Billy Idol, and it just, like they said, it just sort of resonated with people, and
it just built.
And him and I were 19 when the first EP came out, so we were really, just fresh out of high school, and really, we didn't know what to...
That's not even the LP. Yeah, right. That's the 3 o'clock record.
Right. We didn't know what to expect, so...
So whatever was happening I guess this is how it happened.
We jumped on we jumped in like just in the deep end. We went on tour almost immediately. We weren't afraid. We kind of just like were up for the challenge, but there was no egos or anything. It was just like, we were all excited. Let's get on the road and play these songs. And like one of my favorite gigs we ever did, we played in Minneapolis at, this wasn't the favorite gig, but it was a good gig at First Ave, and it was 21 and older. And then the next day, the store called Northern Lights, we said, we'll do an in-store and we'll play a couple songs. And we came down this basement and there was a plank of wood and we were on it. And there were 500 underage, kids.
Wow.
And they just literally surrounded our stage. And we played like 3 songs and we looked at each other and said,
we have to do a set.
And we did the set, and it was like, it's one of my favorite gigs, because that was to me like exactly what you're talking about, that kind of like moment, kids showing up. They get it, we want to give back, and it was an amazing moment. There were a lot of those at that time.
Always sitting by your side, always by your side. That got something I can't explain. You're a witch. You're the left side, he's the right side. Oh no. That got something I can't explain. Mm-hmm. cat, be a ship's cat somewhere, anywhere. That cat's something I can't explain. The morning sinking sand, hiding around on the ground, you'll be found when you're around. That cat's something I can't explain.
We relied heavily on college radio play.
Sure.
And so on every tour, almost every other day, it seemed like we were at a radio station.
Yep.
On some college campus somewhere. And the DJs and the people at the studios were really supportive, and they were really knowledgeable, hip people.
Yeah, they were the tastemakers, really. Sure.
They really, really were. And we were a college radio band, you know?
And it's starting to become a full circle movement, because there's a number of people, this station notwithstanding, where professionals are recognizing this, the non-com world, as they call it now, the non-commercial world, is the world where you can still do adventurous radio, whereas in the commercial world, it's beholden to shareholders. You know, it's a different idea. And that's not to denigrate a lot of the programmers. Certainly Rodney, still at K-Rog, God bless, doesn't ever get enough credit for how he's committed life to discovering bands and movements and like, and you know, he's a real saint. But it's a lot tougher for them on that side. Let's flash forward to a great story. Apparently you were at a record store, and Paul from Golden Voice
it's a bag, a used record store in Long Beach, Bagatelle, and Paul, he's got a lot of he lives down in South Orange County, but has a lot of business up in LA, so that's his drive down the 405, and he's a big record collector, and he loves this store like I do, and so he's in there, and it's like, we're talking, so we see each other a few times, and we're talking, and you know, we always just wave and hi, and stuff like that, and it wasn't until... Coincidentally, Lewis's wife is also friends with Paul, and she just came up with the idea. It was actually Lewis's wife who came up with the idea that, you know, I'm listening to music these days, and I think the 3 o'clock needs to come back.
Oh, and by the way, I'd like a free ticket to Coachella. So that's why you should get back with this band after 27, 28 years of not, you know, playing with these guys.
Well, now,
but we met like 3 years ago. Michael Lewis and I had a dinner, and it was an interesting dinner, because I mean, we had not, the three of us, sat down since then, but it was a great dinner. We sort of broke tortilla chips, and but we kind of just talked a lot of what ifs, but nothing like, oh, we got to get together in a month and plan. But it was, I came away from that really, really loving seeing the two of them together and having this great meal. But everything we'd been offered, and I'm not saying this in a snooty way, but it was always sort of, I don't know. It didn't seem like it had an exclamation point next to it, you know. And then when this came about,
too nostalgic or too, you know,
or it was just like, you know, it would be something that was just sort of like anybody could do it,
right?
And it was like, that doesn't seem like a reason just to do it. You know, we wanted to do it and really have a great time doing it. So.
But could you have imagined
never
that you get to do a warm-up gig at the Fox in Pomona, and then Conan, then Coachella? I mean,
I could have never imagined.
So I ran into Perry at the Glass House a year ago, and he pulled me aside, and he's Paul from Golden Voice's brother, and he was like, I'd love to have the 3 o'clock here. And I told him this yesterday. I said, I'm thinking in my head, I really like Perry, but he's crazy, you know, because like, this is never going to happen. We're not going to play. And, you know, he was really nice to my wife and I, and got us, you know, we went to see Franz Ferdinand, sat next to the stage, and I walked away thinking, it's so cool these guys like us. But kind of that was it. You know, it's right. Kind of like, that's it. I couldn't be more flattered just to be in the same room with the fellow guys and doing what we've been doing. It's been, rehearsals have been amazingly fun.
Well, yeah. And so is having you here. You know, I really want to thank you guys for coming by. We've got the Troubadour Show. We've got Coachella coming up. And, of course, our fans today on KCSN get to hear your music again. For us, it's been a treat. And hopefully, no expectations other than this weekend being more glorious than even the last weekend. And thank you. Thank you for coming back and making the music of the 3 o'clock for us on KCSM.
Thanks for having us. It's been a real pleasure.
You got it.